It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for. Sandy Rios with you on this Monday morning. And the reason I started with that was because here's the headline that from an outlet called Christian Today, The Royal Wedding, How It Preached the Gospel to the World. Probably the estimates are 45 million people watched the wedding of Harry and Prince Harry and Meghan Markle on Saturday or whenever, whatever time it was for us. But the amazing thing was that it was all about the blood of Jesus, the sacrifice. It was the message of Christ. That was John Rutter's song, The Lord Bless You and Keep You, which John Rutter is an English composer. When I was in my singing days, we used to do a number of his songs. He writes beautifully. He's a contemporary writer. It's just beautiful, beautiful. And that's what Meghan and Prince Harry exited the chapel too, but they were, of course, married in St. George's Chapel at Windsor Castle. So the chaplain or the bishop of St. George's Chapel stood up first to sort of, his name is David Connor, to sort of lay out what marriage is all about. Let's listen.
Marriage is a gift of God in creation through which husband and wife may know the grace of God. It is given that as man and woman grow together in love and trust, they shall be united with one another in heart, body, and mind. as Christ is united with his bride, the church. The gift of marriage brings husband and wife together in the delight and tenderness of sexual union and joyful commitment to the end of their lives. It's given as the foundation of family life, in which children are born and nurtured, and in which each member of the family, in good times and in bad, may find strength, companionship, and comfort, and grow to maturity in love. Marriage is a way of life made holy by God and blessed by the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ with those celebrating a wedding at Cana in Galilee. Marriage is a sign of unity and loyalty which all should uphold and honor. It enriches society and strengthens community. No one should enter into it lightly or selfishly, but reverently and responsibly in the sight of Almighty God. Harry and Meghan are now to enter this way of life. They will each give their consent to the other and make solemn vows, and in token of this, they will each give and receive a ring.
All right, that was Michael Curry. Again, he's the presiding bishop. No. That was David Connor, who's the dean of Windsor Castle. He's also the personal chaplain to the Queen. And the reason I'm spending time on this, because I just want you to realize how incredible that was. Remember that England is, for the most part, post-Christian. Remember that the percentage of Muslim immigrants in Great Britain is huge, and that to say anything against Islam is risky. There is a war in Britain for its heart and soul, just like in the other countries of Europe, but Britain we're talking about today. And sitting in the audience, not only do you have the politically incorrect declaration of the Lord Jesus Christ, which we're going to play another example of that in just a second, but you have an audience that are far to the left of anything about the essence and the heart of the gospel itself. You've got a celebrity audience. You've got Oprah Winfrey, who believes, you know, all roads lead to wherever. That's her spirituality. We have, David Beckham. We had George Clooney and his wife. I mean, there were masses of people. I can't mention them all. What's his name? The singer with the big glasses, Elton John. And just that's the kind of audience, besides the king and the queen and all of the other people that are, you know, wealthy, erudite people who, you know, they're hearing the gospel. The gospel, the good news that Jesus died for all men. Now, if it wasn't plain enough from the Dean of Windsor Castle, David Connor, Michael Curry, who is the presiding bishop and primate of the Episcopal Church. Now, I have to tell you, when I found out he was going to be preaching, I wasn't very optimistic, because the Episcopal Church of the United States was the first one to ordain Eugene Robinson, the first openly gay, homosexual Episcopal priest, and it split the church. And the Episcopal Church of America is known for its acceptance of immorality and its lack of a commitment to the basic truths of the gospel. So call me shocked and blessed when Michael Curry, who originally, I think, served in South Carolina, he's a black bishop, first black bishop who had to head the Episcopal Church of America, stood to speak. Now, at first he started talking about love and sort of romantic love, the Song of Solomon, on how love has power, and I thought, well, that's great. You know, the love of Jesus is a little different than the love that that Solomon describes in the Song of Solomon. I wasn't very optimistic, but I was wrong, because I want you to hear what Michael Curry went on to say. Let's listen.
Someone once said that Jesus began the most revolutionary movement in all of human history, a movement grounded in the unconditional love of God for the world, and a movement mandating people to live that love. And in so doing, to change not only their lives, but the very life of the world itself. I'm talking about some power. Real power. Power to change the world. If you don't believe me, well, there were some old slaves in America's antebellum South who explained the dynamic power of love and why it has the power to transform. They explained it this way. They sang a spiritual, even in the midst of their captivity. It's one that says there is a balm in Gilead, a healing balm, something that can make things right. There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. And one of the stanzas actually explains why. They said, if you cannot preach like Peter, and you cannot pray like Paul, you just tell the love of Jesus, how he died to save us all. Oh, that's the balm in Gilead. This way of love, it is the way of life. They got it. He died to save us all. He didn't die for anything he could get out of it. Jesus did not get an honorary doctorate for dying. He wasn't getting anything out of it. He gave up his life. He sacrificed his life for the good of others, for the good of the other, for the well-being of the world, for us. That's what love is.
That was Michael Curry, presiding bishop and primate of the Episcopal Church in America. I don't know what they're doing with him. You know, I think it's ironic. I will say this because I have a long history with this subject matter, that this is where black men and black Americans now can get away with what others cannot get away with. You know, the Episcopal Church 10 years ago would not have stood for that preaching of the gospel, because he expanded it even more than that in any setting. But Michael Curry got away with it, and he did a marvelous job preaching that message at Windsor Castle, at the wedding of Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. It was amazing. They all heard the gospel. Every single last one of them could not have missed it. And so I don't know what fruit's going to come from that, but the irony again, a very post-Christian culture preaches from traditionally, because it's developed this way, the Church of England has become very post-Christian too. But now the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, is an evangelical Christian with an incredible testimony. He spoke a little bit, a short time, at the wedding also. So under him you have Michael Curry, who is the Queen's spiritual advisor at Windsor Castle. And then you have this black bishop, head of the Episcopal Church in America, the one that split over gay marriage, preaching the gospel unapologetically to these leaders of the free world, to these celebrities, to these people who are lost. It doesn't matter what they wear, how many hats, how beautiful they look, they need Jesus. And so the gospel was preached at this wedding, and I wanted to make sure that you didn't miss it. I think that was just incredible. It was an incredible moment. And so I wanted to bring that to your attention. Well, of course, there's a lot more news, and I have a lot of it to tell you about. There was this terrible shooting on Friday, which we all know about. We're going to talk about that. We're also going to be talking about the primaries. They're coming up tomorrow in various states. I'm going to itemize what those states are. Also want to talk to you about what Najina Haspel. Over the week, she was confirmed disgracefully, and I'll tell you about that as well, to head the CIA. Not new. In the pattern of John Brennan, and we all know how wonderful that has been. I want to talk to you about Jim Jordan running for speaker. Incredible things are happening with that and more. There's even more than that. So I hope you'll stay tuned. It's quite a Monday. Thanks for tuning in. I'll be right back. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Okay, so the big question for any decision you're going to make, is this actually going to work? Well, if you've heard about MediShare, which is a brilliant way of sharing healthcare costs, you may have wondered that. Does it work? Well, so did Dr. Stuart Hoover, who initially joined to save a lot of money. The typical family saves about $500 a month. Stuart saved even more.
When we first joined MediShare, we were immediately going from a little over $1,600 a month down to $460 basically a month.
So that's wonderful. But then his wife needed emergency surgery and the bills added up to $160,000.
So we were seeing the bills coming in and then the bills were being paid. Portions were being shared. And the end result of this is this bill was taken care of.
Yes, MediShare works. And it's so easy to get your questions answered too. So why not? You can call right now. 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23. 855-PSALM-23.
Come join Sandy Rios for a walk back in time when she was a young grieving mom, discovering firsthand how God's strength is made perfect in weakness. The music of Sasha's Song, Sandy Rios' first album project, is a reminder of God's faithfulness.
Would God sustain us through the years?
Produced by John Ennis of the Billy Graham Crusade with members of the Indianapolis Orchestra, this beautiful music will lift your heart.
Like peering through a window blurred with rain, emotions run together in a flood of doubt and pain. For He is able.
Available on CD at afastore.net.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
Hey, my name is Aaron Abbs. I am an undecided major, and I'm a freshman here at TME. And as soon as I came here, I fell in love with the campus. Like, I knew, like, God was calling me to be here at TME. And, you know, I couldn't get a better education than this. Like, professors who pray before class, who care about your spiritual walk with Christ. You are who you are, and they care about you.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
Penn State University will no longer allow students to hike, backpack, or frolic in the woods. The university's pulling the plug on the 98-year-old Outing Club. Penn State says the student-led organization was engaged in what they call risky behavior. And by risky, they're talking about canoeing and kayaking, camping. They also pulled the plug on the scuba diving club and caving club. A university spokesperson says they made the decision to deep-six the clubs after conducting a proactive risk assessment. Now, you might be wondering, what makes hiking and camping so dangerous? Well, the university says in most cases, students go hiking and camping in the forest, where cell phone service is limited. And in some cases, they're too far from the hospital. I mean, heaven forbid a kid comes down with a case of poison ivy or gets a boo-boo. These colleges are turning our kids into snowflakes, America. I'm Todd Starnes.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
New details are emerging this morning in the investigation into Friday's deadly shooting at this small town high school.
Everybody needs to clear out this way.
Overnight, students returning to the school for their belongings as investigators continue combing for clues. Eyewitnesses say the teenage suspect, Demetrius Bogorchis, entered from the back of the school armed with two guns, and authorities say explosive devices, including CO2 cartridges wrapped with duct tape, a pressure cooker with a timer, and a Molotov cocktail. But none of those devices worked. Still, 10 people died, 8 students and 2 teachers.
I just don't get it. I don't understand why would he do that?
This grieving mother's 16-year-old daughter, Shayna Fisher, among the 10 killed at Santa Fe High School. Law enforcement officials say they haven't determined what allegedly sent the 17-year-old suspect on a deadly rampage. However, Sadie Rodriguez says Demetrius had been pursuing her daughter, Shayna, for several months, and that Shayna's rejection made her a target.
He had been coming on to her and making advances, and she kept telling him no. And not even a week later, he just shoots everyone, you know, and shoots. And she was the first one.
This morning, 12 people are still recovering in the hospital, among them Santa Fe ISD police officer John Barnes, who's being called a hero.
They're having a shooting at the high school, have an officer down, shooter not in custody.
Barnes, a former Houston police officer, was shot and suffered critical injuries. Friend and fellow law enforcement officer Captain Jimmy Dale said Barnes nearly died, but is expected to survive, yet he still cannot speak.
He doesn't want to be called a hero, and his wife said he's going to hate this, but he is.
There are several vigils planned for later today, and the funeral for one of the students who passed away here. The family of the suspect, they released a statement saying they are shocked and confused by what happened, and they extended their heartfelt prayers and condolences to all of the victims.
Yes, so that happened Friday. I'm sure you know that. Santa Fe, Galveston County. And so Demetrius Pogortsis kills two teachers and eight students and shoots like 13 others that are injured. Terrible, as usual. And we are finding out more and more about him. You just heard in that ABC report that he was he had been spurned by this girl, and she was one of the first person that he shot and killed. But that's not the only thing we know. We had a great report on this at the top of the news, AFR news. But there's even more. Daily Caller is reporting other things. There are his Facebook page and his social accounts, I guess, have been taken down. But before they were, people caught images of him with guns, obsessed, it describes in the Daily Caller, knives and animal torture. He owned a trench coat with USSR and Nazi medals on it. I heard he had an Antifa tattooed on his body. Now, I don't have that in this article, but that's what I was told. It needs to be confirmed. Reporters captured several screenshots and, of course, the trench coat with USSR and Nazi medals pinned on it. They also showed that the owner had a Satanist background, and that, I think, was addressed at the top of the show in the news. He also posted a photo of a shirt that said, "Born to Kill." And then, of course, language that I cannot repeat. He was involved in shooting games. And then a photo posted on Instagram with his name showed a strange image of a squished frog. So he enjoyed evidently killing animals. So serious, serious problems. Ollie North, who is the new head of the NRA, was on, Fox News Sunday with Chris Wallace. And he was just talking about We need to go to metal detectors. We have them in airports. We have them in public buildings. And how can we predict? This kid was not in trouble with the law before, although anybody that paid attention to his social media would know that he was a dangerous person. How are you going to prevent that? The way we prevent it in public places is metal detectors. So he certainly may have something there. And that's what people have been trying to lay down these very tight security measures for high schools since Watts shooting. I mean, I pick one, the one in Florida. Maybe we could say that one. But ironically, you know, this David Hogg, who is out front, you know, saying the NRA is Satan itself and the gun owners want kids to be dead, et cetera, and railing against the Second Amendment, was in some sort of a forum with Axios's Mike Allen. And the proposal was made that kids should be carry clear backpacks to school. And the suggestion is that schools would even provide them. But if they had clear backpacks, they could not hide weapons. So you might think, you know, David Hogg would be all about that, but not so. He said it's unnecessary. It's embarrassing for a lot of students, and it makes them feel isolated and separated from the rest of American school culture, where they're having essentially their First Amendment rights infringed upon because they can't freely wear whatever backpack they want, regardless of what it is. So so David's all about, you know, doing away with the Second Amendment, which is an equal importance to the First Amendment, so that he doesn't have to carry a clear backpack, but not so concerned about gun ownership for American citizens to protect themselves. So that's what's happening. That's what's happening in the aftermath of the shooting. I'm sure we'll hear more about it. And God bless all of you down in Texas who are dealing with this horrible tragedy. I surely don't mean to minimize it. I don't at all. It's just that the approach that some are taking to this is just so disconnected with common sense. And, of course, it was someone with a gun that stopped this. There would have been more people dead. We all know that. I want to mention to you that there are, changing the subject because I want to, for this moment, there are primaries tomorrow. Now, what have I been saying about primaries? A lot. A lot. I've been telling you, asking you, yea, verily, begging you to please get active in your primaries because over the weekend, in fact, in Virginia, a really good candidate went down at the Virginia convention. She was targeted for defeat. My understanding is lots of Cynthia Dunbar is her name. I don't know the details of this because I can't possibly, you know, I can't follow the details of every election. There's just too many. There are hundreds of them. And so, but I do know that Cynthia was a really fine candidate, someone that we probably would have thought was phenomenal, but by various chicanery of party operatives in Virginia, she went down in the nomination over the weekend. Now, in Idaho last week, a really good person won at least the right to run in the general. His name is Russ Fulcher. He's been supported by some very conservative groups, so that was a win, but there were some other defeats. In Pennsylvania, a couple of seats went down to liberal Republicans, and so you see this is a battle, and as I'm telling you, the only way that we are going to change that House and that Senate, which is disgraceful. If you heard Friday's show, you know how disgraceful. And by the way, if you did not hear Friday's show, could I encourage you to go back and listen to the podcast? You're going to hear things about what's going on in the Senate, in the House, that you likely don't know. It's really disgraceful. And if that doesn't motivate you to get busy and vote for really conservative patriots, then I'm helpless to encourage you. And also let me just say AFA.net, go to AFA.net, or AFA Action, sorry, AFA Action, and look for our voter guide. This will help you in the states of Kentucky, Arkansas, Texas, and Georgia as you're trying to decide what candidates stand for what. There are other voter guides, sure. So look for any voter guides that you think are trustworthy, like the family policy councils of your various states. That's another source. You can just check these candidates out in that way. Let me mention a few more races. In Texas tomorrow, in Texas 5, I think it is. Yeah, Texas District 5. There are two candidates, and I want to tell you who's supporting them. Pete Sessions is supporting one candidate named Patrick Svitek. And Louis Gohmert is supporting his opponent, Bunny Pounds. That's in District 5. So Louis Gohmert and other conservatives seem, well, let's read what Louis says about her. She believes the Constitution means what it literally says and believes the Bible is the ultimate manual for life. Texas needs Bunny Pounds in Congress. That's Louis Gohmert's comments about that. Pete Sessions doesn't have any comments about his pick, which is Patrick Svitek. We also have Chip Roy running in District 21 against McCall is his last name. I know it's not Mike, but I can't think of his first name. McCall is his last name. Chip Roy has been with us a few times. He was the former chief of staff for Ted Cruz. So at last Friday's show, we talked to Chip, so that's another thing you could hear if you go back and check on last Friday's show. Actually, Adam, we should repost that show again on our Facebook page so people don't have to hunt for it, because I'm hoping they will listen the real story of what's going on in the Senate and in the House. So these primaries, again, tomorrow in Kentucky, Arkansas, Texas, and Georgia are so important. But if you're not from those states, if you know people in those states, alert them to these things and tell them to check the voter guide. Send them a link of a voter guide. You know, be proactive and help your friends and neighbors who live other places to be informed on these races. Remember, AFAaction.net, that's where our voter guide is. And what's at stake? A lot of things are at stake. I want to just tell you that over the last Friday, you probably heard this, but if you didn't, you must know that the Trump administration separated out, by statute, Title X funding for family planning from abortion. And so what that means is they're forcing Planned Parenthood, who always says, oh, no, we don't use federal dollars to perform abortions, and yet there's no separation between their abortion clinics and their so-called family planning entity. And I have to tell you that Planned Parenthood the stats that I have read through the years does precious little family planning. They do a whole lot of abortion. They are the nation's number one abortion provider. And so this is a real blow to them. They're going to have to separate out their facilities so the tax dollars absolutely, for certain, positively, do not go to pay for abortions. So there's a lot more detail on that, but that's a really good thing that the president did. And that reminds me of someone else who was a champion on this issue, and that would be Jim Jordan. I've been telling you for some time that I think Congressman Jim Jordan should be the next Speaker of the House. Many of us believe that. In fact, we have issued a letter that came out just today. We have over 100 signatures of conservative leaders. Tim Wildman is one of them. I'm one of them. And there are lots of other people that you're going to recognize asking him to please run. Let me just read a little bit of it to you. The letter talks about how 80% of likely voters are concerned about the loss of freedom and individual rights, that they're threatened right now. Those threats, bullying, and violence are perpetrated by the extreme left, but they are enabled by the wishy-washy, double-dealing present House leadership that, by not draining the swamp, keeps the extremists funded and empowered. Goes on to ask Congressman Jordan, you must take the lead. You have demonstrated over your years on Capitol Hill an unwavering commitment to our constitutional liberties and conservative principles of free market economics, budgetary discipline, traditional values, and strong national defense. You have worked to drain this swamp, not fill it further. And we all know what the current House Republican leadership really thinks of you and those who share your beliefs. You have established a record of responsible leadership of the kind our times demand. We petition you to declare yourself a candidate of the Speaker of the House immediately. Begin offering a platform that will inspire and engage millions of Americans. Goes on to say, you know what, there's a lot more about it. We're going to post this on our Facebook page so you can read it. It is a great letter. Congressman Jordan spoke at an event in Washington on Friday, and I would like you to hear what he had to say. This is clip 10.
I tell this story a lot too, but I want you all to do this. Think about people who impacted your life in a positive fashion. And if you're like most, next to your parents, it was probably a coach or teacher you had along the way. But next to my dad, it was my high school wrestling coach. Toughest teacher in our school, toughest wrestling coach, I think, in the whole darn state of Ohio. And this is not an exaggeration. He talked about discipline every single day. In class, he taught chemistry and physics. And I can still remember him and say, hey, Jordan, this isn't any old class. This is chemistry class. More importantly, it's my chemistry class. You want to do well in my class? It's going to take discipline. You've got to prepare the night before. It's going to take self-discipline. Read the material. Come to class prepared. Do the experiment. It's going to take discipline to do well in my chemistry class. And then in the wrestling room, oh, my goodness, the guy was crazy. I can still hear him. He passed away 7 years ago. Cancer. The wrestling room in our school is named after him, Ron McCunn. Ron McCunn wrestling. At our school, wrestling is big. My brother's been the coach the last 18 years. They won the state championship 18 years in a row, and they will win it again next year. It's just what we do. But Coach McCunn in the wrestling room, I can still hear him. Discipline is the most important character quality you need to accomplish anything of meaning, anything of significance, any goal that is worthwhile. And I'm like, but that guy, shut up. He sounds like my dad. I get it every day at home. Now I get it from my coach, but he has a great definition. And it hangs in our wrestling room. All those state championship banners, the biggest banner in the Ron McCunn wrestling room is the banner on the front wall where it says discipline. Doing what you don't want to do when you don't want to do it. And back in the day, that meant doing things coach's way when you'd rather do them your way. It meant doing things the right way when you'd rather do them the easy and convenient way. And I would argue that is the biggest thing missing in this town. We always do it the convenient way.
That was Jim Jordan at an event on Friday. I want to say more about that when we return and more about what the House Freedom Caucus did last week in regard to the farm bill, because you probably heard something about it, but you might not know really what that all means. And you should. Because we need more members of the Freedom Caucus in that House. That's why I'm begging you to pay attention to these primaries and vote for strong conservatives. They generally will not have the backing of the establishment in Washington. But it's not always easy to figure out who those people are, because all kinds of chicanery is going on in the local races. But that's why you need to take responsibility where you live to find out what's happening. All right, got to take a break. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. The Trump administration has announced a rule to cut funding to abortionists like Planned Parenthood under Title X, a program that provides $280 million annually for family planning initiatives. The rule requires a bright line of physical and financial separation between Title X programs and any program or facility where abortion is performed, supported, or referred as a method of family planning. This forces Planned Parenthood and others like them to disentangle themselves from abortion if they want to continue receiving these funds. They have to choose money or murder.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Under God, an American Family Radio special celebrating our great nation and featuring the music of the Joyful Noise Quartet.
I'm just reminded today how this country was founded because there were Christians looking for a land where they could live out their Christian faith. We've been entrusted now to be guardians of this freedom.
Listen to Under God this Wednesday morning at 11 Central on American Family Radio.
Gun violence continues to rage in America. A Florida school shooting inspired marches calling for greater gun control. At the same time, nearly 40 people were shot in 3 days in Chicago, a city that has some of the strictest gun control laws in America. The root problem isn't a weapon. Jesus said murder arises from the human heart. Sadly, we neglect spiritual solutions to violence. In addition to sensible laws, we need to teach people about God, His view of violence, and the consequences for their actions. I'm Pastor John Miller. Visit me at churchontherock.org.
Hi, this is Kirk Cameron, and I am honored to be partnering with the Ministry of Preborn and American Family Radio to help moms choose life.
Actor Kirk Cameron supports Preborn.
My four oldest children were adopted. That is because of caring and compassionate people who help those young mothers choose life. My wife is an adopted child, and her birth mother chose life for her. If it weren't for those caring individuals that help those young moms value the sacredness of life, I wouldn't have my wife, I wouldn't have my four adopted children, and the two natural born children that we have wouldn't exist either. My whole family is here because of people that are involved with ministries like Preborn.
Underwrite a free ultrasound and help save a baby's life. Go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Or dial #250 and say keyword baby. All gifts are tax deductible. Your love can save a life.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. To hear Nicolas Maduro tell it his dictatorship has been re-elected to continue its devastating misrule of Venezuela. That took some doing in the face of his catastrophic bankrupting of a once prosperous country with the world's largest oil reserves. Mass starvation proved to be a pretty effective technique for suppressing the vote, however, so were jailing opposition candidates, vote rigging, regime dominance of the media, forcing millions into exile, bribing some voters, and intimidating many others. The United States and others may impose still more sanctions on Maduro and his cronies, but let's face it, the sheer magnitude of the crisis they have created in Venezuela requires an intervention by the Western Hemisphere's free nations, hopefully with the help of Venezuelan military personnel who love their country and want to end its suffering, not be party to or responsible for its perpetuation. This is Frank Affney.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Sandy Rios back with you. I finished just for a second before I change the subject, my discussion of Congressman Jim Jordan, because I want to kind of give you some perspective on this. I talked about how President Trump has separated now funding in out of Title X for family planning in a way that's going to really affect Planned Parenthood. And so if they want to take all the millions of dollars they're currently taking, they must create separate facilities for so-called family planning from the abortion clinics. And that's a very big deal. Separate planning, separate buildings, facilities, staff, everything. So that's a pretty big blow to Planned Parenthood, and God bless President Trump for doing that. Any blow against Planned Parenthood is a saving of lives. All those millions of dollars that they get from your tax money, thank you, courtesy of a Republican leadership who has failed to do anything about it other than talk about it, they still get that money. They were fully funded in the last omnibus, even though some of you wrote me and said, I do read your email. I do read Facebook as much as I possibly can. So when I don't speak of it often because I'm trying to get in so much news, but I do read what you send. Several of you contacted your congressman to ask them, and at least two or three of them came back because you sent me their responses and said, oh, we didn't fully fund Planned Parenthood. Of course, they're lying about that. They are lying. That's exactly what they did in the omnibus bill. But I want to go on. By contrast, Congressman Jim Jordan was one of just 24 Republicans who voted against the omnibus spending bill, that last one, for the very reason that it funded Planned Parenthood, among other things. But that was one of his big reasons. Let me just say that Congressman Jordan was one of the lawmakers, you might remember, that questioned the CEO of Planned Parenthood, Cecile Richards, on after about selling baby body parts. And this was, remember then, Planned Parenthood's big defense was that those videos had been edited. The David Del Leiden undercover videos had been edited. It was really silly. It was a sidetrack. It was that he used one frame of a picture of a little unborn baby that came from another source because he didn't have, he just supplemented it. But it didn't negate any of the rest of his reporting, none of the veracity of any of it. But then they started saying that it was fake and edited and all of that. So that was the sideline on that. So this is what Jordan asks her. If the videos were selectively edited, if this was entrapment, all untrue, then why, Cecile Richards, CEO of Planned Parenthood, did you apologize? You know, Jordan is known for cutting to the chase. He understands the issues. He's got a ton of courage. And so let me just read a little bit about... Here's the Freedom Caucus at this point. Brian Murphy, who is with McClatchy. By the way, you might have seen Chris Steierwald from Vox, who hates the Freedom Caucus. So does Karl Rove, because they're establishment Republicans. So you hear lots of criticism of them. Brian Murphy with McClatchy has pointed out that retirements of so-called moderate Republicans mean that the conservative House Freedom Caucus is poised to gain power in the GOP caucus and to have a crucial say as to who runs it next year. There are right now 237 Republicans in the House. That total does not include four seats that were left vacant by GOP resignations. At least 43 Republicans have said they're leaving the House because of retirement, resignation, or to run for another office. And there are about 35 to 40 Freedom Caucus members. So in other words, the moderates are losing their ranks, and it's possible that more conservatives may join them. And that's what I'm pushing for that, for each of you in each state, to make sure that you are electing a true conservative to come and join the conservatives in the House to actually do something. And by the way, if you want to help us encourage Congressman Jordan to run for speaker, I'm going to give you a phone number that you could call. This is the Capitol Switchboard. It's 866-220-0044. 866-220-0044. So basically what we're saying is you're an American, right? You're a citizen. You are a voter. You would like to see Jim Jordan run for House, Speaker of the House. Speaker of the House. We need him. And when he was speaking at that event on Friday, he said, what did you tell the American people you were going to do? Go do that. There was one guy who's doing that right now, and not all of us in this room supported him when he ran for president. He's doing what he said he would do. And then he ran off a list of accomplishments of the president. And he said, compare and contrast that to Congress. Think about this. Other than the tax cuts, can you tell me what Congress has done that's worthwhile? You tell me what we have done that is consistent with the promises we made to the American people in that election on that day, November 8th, 2016? So that gives you an idea of why so many of us think that he is the man to run. And let me just say, so what happened last week in regard to the Freedom Caucus was that there's a massive farm bill that the leadership wanted. Now, it's been presented or positioned or described as a conservative farm bill, but it is not. That's not true. I think Fox has done that too. Many of their pundits call it that. It has some mild, very minimal work requirements for people receiving food stamps. See, the feckless leadership somehow merged the farm bill, which is supposed to be about farmers, with food stamps. And conservatives are saying there should not be a link between these two. So it's become a boondoggle for the left, and it's gotten out of control. I'll just read you a couple of things. This is from Club for Growth. Conservatives fought hard during the last farm bill debate to break up the unholy marriage of agricultural subsidy programs and the food stamp program. Yet this bill maintains that union as if our previous efforts never happened. Heritage Action. Those shortcomings are exacerbated by the farm bill's continued wasteful subsidy programs. Not only does it double down on cronyism and dependency inherent in the program, but the amendment process appears to be designed to protect the underlying bill as opposed to allow for conservative improvements. I'm going to skip down. There's a whole bunch of them. Heartland kind of puts it succinctly. I'll stop with theirs. The farm bill is a boondoggle. Only special interests and the politicians who benefit from their campaign donations could love. So here's this farm bill, and of course the House leadership's all about it, you see, because they're part of the boondoggle, part of the swamp, shall we say. So what happened? The Freedom Caucus tanked it. They are, okay, this is what they promised. They told the leadership, this is in, I know this is inside the Beltway, so forgive me, but it's pretty interesting. They said, all right, you're trying to push through this really bad amnesty DACA bill. Jeff Dunham and 16 other Republicans have signed on to this really bad DACA amnesty bill, and you are trying to get a discharge petition to bring it to the floor and pass it with the Republicans while nobody's looking. Meanwhile, the leadership in the House is pretending like, oh, we're not in favor of that, while they are allowing these rogue Republicans, part of the conference, to cooperate with the Democrats to pass a really bad bill. So the Freedom Caucus said, all right. This is what we'll do. If you will give us a vote on a good amnesty, a good, not immigration bill, not amnesty bill, a good immigration bill, the one fashioned by Bob Goodlatte, chairman of the Judiciary Committee, if you promise us a vote on that, then we will pass your farm bill. But they couldn't get those assurances. So they tanked the farm bill on Friday. It went down. And so they're getting roundly criticized by the Karl Roves and the Chris Steirwalds of the world because, you know, this is a conservative farm bill, of course, they would like to tell us. But I already said to you, it is not. It's a boondoggle. And so that's why many of us want different leadership. We have to have different leadership, different members of the House, different members of the Senate. And that's why many of us are trying to draft Jim Jordan. You'll see the letter that we've written over 100 conservative leaders asking him to declare publicly that he will run for Speaker of the House and do it right away with a platform that actually keeps the promises. That's what we'd like to see. All right, changing the subject, I just want you to hear this for fun. This was Kellyanne Conway, who I love, on with Brian Seltzer of CNN. And Kellyanne, unflappable Kellyanne, was taking him to task for CNN's coverage of the president and of this Russian scandal. Let's listen.
Brian, you're trying to break news here and it's not working. I'm sorry. Did you just say something that a lot of people on your side of the aisle are not willing to say?
I'm not on a side of an aisle. That's an offensive remark.
Well, tell America, did you vote for Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump?
I did not vote for president. I left that spot blank on the ballot that day. But it's not appropriate for you to go
you
around
probably didn't
asking
think she needed
people
your
who
help.
They voted for.
No, it's all appropriate to ask me things, but not other people.
We asked you to come on the program because you're a representative of the president. Yes, I think that's the
and
point
the president
of the interview.
Thinks, the Can president I ask you thinks about that leaking? If you're going, the president thinks that if you're that there's no nexus between any Russian interference and the outcome of the election, and a lot of folks think that now, which is why they're moving on to someone's lawyer being on your network 160 plus times in a short amount of time. You don't have those screaming graphics anymore of Russia collusion. Someone on a different network last night ran all these outtakes from people on your network and others, where people Adam Schiff was promising, you know, Russia collusion. People were promising we're going to have evidence to this. You confused America and you wasted time talking about that instead of things that really matter to America, like a great prosperous economy, national security, renegotiated trade deals. These things matter to people, Brian, and you know it. Look, if you think your job
I agree they
is
matter.
To get the president and not get the story, you ought to just own it. Just say it. Because I know your viewers expect that now. Look at their comments all the time. Don't have Trump people on. They expect you to be reflexively, invectively anti-Trump.
I'm glad
I think
you're
it's problematic.
Here. The goal is not to get the president.
I'm happy to be here.
The goal is to get the truth.
Yeah, okay. And so you know that's not true. And that was Brian Stelzer of, sorry. I was looking at something else. Brian Stelzer of CNN arguing with Kellyanne. And I just thought I enjoyed that. And I wanted you to hear it. I did enjoy it. You know, CNN is down 30% in terms of their audience. You know, I used to be on CNN a lot. In fact, I hosted Crossfire several times from George Washington University. And CNN had a great platform then. And actually, you know, even though they had a ton of people on the left, they did engage lively debate. And I really enjoyed that. I fought with many people over at CNN. But it's, I don't know, they've just morphed into something I don't recognize. Now, I have to bring you up to date. The Russia situation, the Mueller situation is incredible. I'm going to run out of time here. So let me just make this, let me cut to the chase. We found out last week, and I told you this, that there is at least one FBI informant that basically entrapped at least two. We know that he entrapped. We don't know about the third, who's Sam Clovis. American-British dual citizen, Stephen Halper is his name now. And look, he might not be the only person we believe was paid. We're trying to find out by the FBI to infiltrate the Trump campaign and basically set up George Papadopoulos. I described it last week, paid him, offered to have, ask, just contacted this young 24-year-old kid who's supposed to be a Trump staffer, who I guess marginally was, but not exactly, like on the inside, and asked him to write a paper, paid him $3,000, flew him to Great Britain, and then had him receive information from Stephen Halper that the Russians had hacked Hillary's email. They announced that to George Papadopoulos, who was pretty surprised. Then they arranged for him to have a meeting with the Russian ambassador, Australian ambassador, who just happened to bring it up in the conversation. And George said, did you know that the Russians have, you know, told the Australian ambassador about it when he was drunk? And on the basis of that, they said, you know, a Trump staffer knows about the Russia colluding, you know, with Hillary Clinton's email. It's really, really, really shocking, actually. Let's see if I can get in this one Devin Nunes. Devin, when the head of the House Intelligence Committee was referring to this in this first clip. Let's listen.
There were two mainstream media outlets on Friday night that had lots and lots and lots of details. If any of those details are correct. So remember, we don't have any documents. We can't confirm whether there's an informant or not an informant because we've never been told nor given documents. And in fact, we've never even asked for the name of any informants or any sources whatsoever. So if any of that is true, if they ran a spy ring or an informant ring and they were paying people within the Trump campaign, if any of that is true, that is an absolute red line. There is not an honest person in this country who can believe that taxpayer dollars going to fund this ring and operate like this, like what's said in the New York Times, I think, it would have quite a bit, you know, quite a bit of detail on it. If any of that is true, this is a red line in this country. You can't do this to political campaigns.
But
I mean, this was done, I mean, according to them, this was done in the spring. Before the counterintelligence investigation.
We're going to hear more about that. I'm going to talk about this in more detail tomorrow since I ran out of time today. But today, the president declared in a tweet over the weekend that he will officially asked the Department of Justice to look into whether or not the FBI, DOJ infiltrated or surveilled the Trump campaign for political purposes, and if any such demands or requests were made by people within the Obama administration. It is really amazing what's happening. Stay tuned. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.